Hello. Hey, everyone. Let me move my camera. Put it in the center so y'all can see me more gooder. That's not a word. Hey, everybody, come on in. Come on in, coming in. Coach Christy here. I just realized Coach Heather just texted me and said, heads up. The email reminder that went out said that it still said Coach Kathy. So I am not Coach Kathy. If you're new, I am Coach Christy here with you guys tonight. So, hi. Yes, I am not Coach Kathy. Hey, Jean. I am not. It's the old bait and switch, y'all. Okay, let me get myself all set up here. So welcome, welcome. If you're new to No BS, we're so excited to have you here. This is a life coaching call, which means anything goes. This is the grab bag of coaching. So we can talk about anything from weight loss to relationships to self-esteem to if you're struggling with issues at work or parenting, we can talk about anything. What's interesting about the life coaching calls is we say that it doesn't have to be about weight loss, but in my experience, usually what's going on in your life that you would want coaching on affects your weight. Thumbs up if you agree with that, right? At least it is for me, right? Usually, if I'm pissed off at my husband, I'm probably overeating a little bit, right? Or if I'm worried about my kids, I'm probably in the pantry trying to find a snack. That's just how it goes. They usually just go hand in hand. Okay, so tonight is open coaching. So I want to see everybody's hands raised, right? Let's raise your hands. Let's get some coaching done. If you are worried about being coached tonight, let's talk about it, right? Let's talk about fears. Let's talk about letting our fears drive our decisions and why that's not always a good idea. Chances are the reasons that you are concerned about getting coached are probably the reasons you're in No BS to begin with. So I want you to think about that. Even if it's just your unwillingness to feel the fear or feel a feeling that could keep you from reaching your goals. So, all right, we've got some hands raised. Thank y'all so much. Again, I am Coach Christy. If you're new, this is just a life coaching call. This is raise your hand, and we'll just go through as help as many women as we can tonight until about 7 o'clock. So here we go. Dawn, I'm calling you up first. Let's see. Well, maybe. Everybody hear me okay? I'm assuming you can't. Oh, I'm always loud. That reminds me. I'm going to while Dawn is coming up, y'all, I'm gonna turn down my microphone because I'm always loud. How do I do that? Let me see. Let's see. Microphone. All right, let's see if I can move that down. Okay, maybe that's better. Hi, Dawn.
Hello, I'm just moving
How are
to a
you?
private location. I'm super excited and surprised to have gotten picked so quickly. So,
Yeah,
thank you.
yeah. You're welcome.
So, you actually coached me last fall on the back to school. I had been worried about tenure and gaining weight and all that stuff, and the
I
coaching
thought you
was
looked
super
familiar.
helpful. Yes,
Good.
ironically, I did not get tenure.
Okay.
But not for all the reasons I was worried about. It was budget and so on. So your coaching helped me tremendously for that, and even to the point of then looking for a new job and getting through that whole process. So that went great. But now I'm in it and struggling, and I gave myself kind of grace the first few weeks with following my food plan even. And just kind of all the things, because it's been a hard adjustment. And now I'm at the end of the month of this new job, and I've been continuing to make a food plan. I've been continuing to journal. I have an accountability partner, so I'm checking in daily. We're both trying to focus on the wins of the day, but I feel like I don't want to continue to stay in this spot. Like my urges are through the roof. I'm not actually sticking to my plan. pretty much ever. I mean, I'm not having huge overeats or major off, but I'm giving in to the urges. I'm to add to that part, like just the transition to the new job and all those struggles, I'm also having like some physical symptoms too that I'm going to a doctor, so I'm in a lot of pain
Okay.
and trying to get to the bottom of that. And I guess the last piece of it is, and I think I'm managing this okay, but I'm up for any help. My daughter's getting married in April, and there was definitely that, like, lose a certain amount of weight for the wedding kind of thing, which, like, not that I think in any way I'm going to have more fun that way. I just honestly, it seems silly, but I don't want to look at the pictures and be like, why didn't you lose weight? That kind of a thing. So, balancing all of that right now, I would appreciate a little like what else can I do to get through this in a no BS way.
Okay. So let's first ask ourselves where, so you're overeating because you're giving into urges, which I'm guessing is related to not following your plan.
Correct.
Okay. So what is your window?
Like time of day
What is your window that
or
you're, yes, give me your, like, so, well, let me ask you this. Are you doing discovery worksheets for your overeats and your off-plan eats?
no, I'm
Okay.
kind of like, oh, I know why I'm doing it, but I that's the first
Oh,
thing
this
I
is,
could be doing.
okay, this is classic, right? So, like, this is so common, right? Is, how long have you been in OBS? A while, right?
Yeah, years.
Okay, so years. So we're, so I'm guessing that you might be telling yourself, I know what to do. And I'm not doing it.
Right. What I should be
Yeah.
doing,
What I
perhaps.
know exactly what I should be doing, right? Exactly. So there's this layer of judgment that's on top of the thoughts that are causing the overeat. So, right? So, like, we have thoughts that lead to our actions, right? Which is our actions right now are overeating or eating off plan, right? And then we have thoughts about our actions that's on top of those. Okay. So we first have to drop all that judgment. I'm just going to like wave my magic wand over you, Dawn, right now and say all the overeating that you've been doing, all the urges you've been giving into the last month or two since school started, 100% normal and make absolute complete sense. Of course you were.
And that is making me emotional because perhaps I'm not being that loving towards myself. Like that feels like something I might say to somebody else.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah. Of course, you're in pain. You just started a new job.
Yeah, physical pain, emotional pain, like a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Of course you're overeating. Of course your brain is wanting to solve these feelings for you in the quickest, most effective way it knows how. Of course, it's no surprise, right? So even though you know what we should be doing. Listen, guys, like the four basics, they're not that hard, right? One, two, three, four. Drink your water, sleep, make a plan, doable hunger. Done. Boom. Right? If it was that easy, all of us would be at goal weight and we wouldn't have any other work to do. We would just do the basics. What's so hard about it? Right? But of course you're overeating right now, right? You're going through some things. Your brain is doing a really super job at trying to take care of you. It just has a very limited scope of tools right now. Okay. So for you, we got to investigate a little bit what's underneath you. Now that we've dropped the judgment and and any kind of thoughts you're having about the way you've been showing up, this is like I always feel like this is like trying to pound a square peg into a round hole. You're just like, I know what to do. Why am I not doing it? I just got to make myself. Maybe I need to like go listen to a module. Right? Maybe I need to like just text my accountability group, right? Those are all great tools. But until we figure out what needs are underneath our urges that we're giving into, we're just going to keep trying to find actions, right?
And again, the tears are coming as you say that, like I think I'm very sad to have left the place that I left. I also I've been doing this for 20 something years, and I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this new position is the same job, but in a very different place. And I kind of am going there every day feeling inadequate, and like I don't fit in. And I've moved places before and not had that feeling. So this has been a really tough one.
So you feel inadequate. You're waking up every day with thoughts of inadequacy
And dread, not wanting
and
to go to
dread.
work. And through it all, my brain is not actually functioning, even on the home front, as well as it normally would, because I'm so weighed down with all of that all day long.
So the answer is not to put in more band-aids for following plan. The answer is to work on our thoughts of inadequacy and to work on our sadness.
I've journaled about it. I've tried to ha come up with better thoughts, but it's not going away.
Well, and that can mean a couple things, right? Like, when we're talking about sadness, sometimes it's not about switching thoughts. Sometimes it's just about allowing. Like, we don't have to talk ourselves out of sadness.
I might have skipped that part.
Yeah. You're just allowed to be sad that you left your job. It doesn't mean that you also can't be grateful for your new job. It doesn't also mean that you can't be understanding for why you left that job, but you're allowed to be sad about it.
I guess my fear is that it's never gonna end, and I'm never gonna kind of pull myself up by the both bootstraps and get going again and be happy again with where I am, and
That
I'm
is,
towards the end of my career, so it's just a really crappy way for it to end.
yeah. Well, no wonder you're in a hurry to get out of sadness, because now we have a thought, I cannot stay in this. I don't want to feel this because I'm at the end of my career. I want to go out on a high note, right? Like, I don't want to stay in this. Have you ever been sad any other time in your life?
Oh yeah.
Tell me about a time that you were sad.
I mean, I was sad when I lost my father,
Okay.
for example, and right, go figure. I mean, of course I still miss him, but I'm not still as sad. I feel like I know where you're going with that.
Stay out of my coaching job, Dawn.
Sorry. That's part of my problem is overthinking everything and thinking I've got it all figured out. So
I'm just teasing you. I love that you're already on to me, right? Because you've been around enough to know, right? And this is why it's easy for us to see other people's stuff, right? It just is, right? And so as soon as I just gave you a little bit of the bait, you took the hook because you know where I'm going with this, right? But it's also very normal for your brain not to want to let you be in sadness. That's not fun. We also don't have a lot of practice with it, right? If you think about the way most of us were raised, at least me, right? The way society is, they're always telling us how to feel about stuff. They're always telling us, just look at the bright side.
Totally. Be grateful. Yada yada.
Be grateful. At
It's a
least you have a
blessing,
job.
right?
I mean, the whole
Yep.
everything, right?
Totally.
So we're constantly being bombarded with your feelings are either wrong or here's how you should change them. Because you're supposed to be happy all the time. What a bunch of horse shit. We couldn't know what happiness was like unless we experienced sadness. Right? So
True.
allowing sadness about your job, it's easier to do that when we remind ourselves emotions are like visitors. They come and go. They just stay for a minute, have a cup of tea, and then they move along. They're constantly changing. They're just there temporarily. And I'm just going to tell you, in my experience, and for most of my clients, the easier you are at allowing them, the more likely and faster they are to pass through you. The more time you spend in resistance to them, the longer they hang around. It's like someone knocking at your door. Hello, Don. Hello, hello, Don. Hello, 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 hello. If you just keep not answering the door, hello, Don. Hello, hello, right? If you just let it in, they tell you what they need to tell you, and then they move along. Yeah.
And Spirit thought I was doing so well with giving myself grace, as I put it. But now
You
I'm like, okay, expiration date. Like it should be done by now.
Oh gosh, there's no
So
time, there's no expiration date on sadness and grief. None. I would imagine that you still allow yourself to feel sad about the passing of your dad. Yeah.
Right.
That's,
Lovingly
yeah.
so.
Judgment of our emotions and judgment of our feelings is something we all learn to do, right? It's something we've all learned as kids. And it's something we have to unlearn. And that's what we teach here at NoBS, right? We teach you that all your feelings are valid. Like, just allow, they are literally like messages from your internal self. You know how like you use your senses to like know what's going on in the world? Okay, y'all, sight, you're a teacher. Sight, hearing, touch, smell, taste. Did I get them?
You got it. A plus.
It's like I made it through kindergarten, right? Those senses, we use all of them to tell us what's going on around us and create awareness, right? Feelings are how we know what's going on in the inside. Right? So what does allowing sadness look like? Like, how do we do that?
Well, I mean, I have been talking about it. I've been honest when people say, "How's the new job?" or that kind of thing. I mean, I've been getting emotional on the call, like letting myself tear up. But yeah, I think that's it. I do it only to a little bit, and then I compartmentalize and say, "All right, you did. Move on."
Yeah.
I don't know what else I need to let happen. I guess I'm afraid I just won't get out of it. But as you pointed out, I've had bigger experiences I've been sad over, and I have. But I guess the lingering part is like the whole wedding thing then. Like, well, you're just going to keep gaining weight until then, and then the pictures of the wedding, like that, I have to somehow put aside. Because that's part of the pressure to kind of get it together quicker.
Yeah. But if we start allowing the sadness, do you see you trying to wiggle out of the feelings right now? You're trying to get me to your due line. I'll go
Maybe.
with you, Dawn, for just a little bit, right? But if we start feeling the feelings, right, about the sadness over leaving our job, then that's going to take away some of that desire to escape sadness, which cleans up overeating. Okay. All right. But there's one big other elephant that we need to talk about. This inadequacy thing, right? The sadness is one piece and allowing that. But this inadequacy feeling, how does it make sense that you have these inadequacy feelings at your job?
Well, if I were talking to somebody else and being kind, I would say because I'm doing things that even though I've been doing this job for very long, I am doing things now that I have not ever done. And dealing with children, like types of children and disabilities I never have, computer programs, technology that I never have. And I'm working with a new team of people and like just learning the dynamics and the personalities as well, and it's some of them are a little confusing.
So, will you allow yourself to be a beginner at this job?
I'm trying. I have to work on being patient with it.
Yeah.
I mean, technology-wise, I think I've made steps in that, but as I'm saying that, only because I feel like I've gotten better, not because I'm being kind to myself. I'm being kind because I think I'm improving.
Right. So is
Not
it
like
inadequacy
it.
or is it inadequate? Is it inad is it that you are inadequate or that you are just inexperienced with these new things?
100% inexperienced.
What's the difference?
I can learn, and I shouldn't know it all because I've never done it before.
Yes. Can you imagine if I called you every morning, Dawn, and I was like, Dawn, you are going to learn some crazy ass shit today. Like, it is stuff you've never even seen. It's this computer program, girl. It is crazy. You're going to have to take some notes, but you're going to learn it. If in like 3 days, you'll have it all down. Don't worry. It's going to be a hot mess until you figure that out.
That would feel good. You want to do that?
Yeah. What's your number?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a whole
Right.
group of women here who would do that for you, right? Yes, you can do that for yourself. You can wake up every day and say, today I'm a beginner at this. I am not inadequate. I'm gaining experience with this. I'm
It's
just going to go
another
out on
one
a
of
limb and
those.
say that they wouldn't have hired you if you were inadequate.
Right. I am 100% the one judging myself. I mean, I
Yeah.
don't know what my bosses think. That's a whole other, can of wax, but everything seems good, and I've even said things to my new colleagues, like I feel very overwhelmed. I'm very confused. And they've said, yeah, you don't look it. You seem like you're jumping right in. But
How do you feel when
yeah.
they say that? What do you feel when they say that?
A little bit of imposter syndrome, like honestly, I mean, it's nice to know I don't look like an idiot, but it doesn't, I don't feel it in my heart.
Well,
I'm used
you
to
just
being
gave
the
me like a
one
little, say that again. You're used to being the one that what?
that helps the newbies,
There you go. Right. So now we're not going to let ourselves be a beginner because that means I'm an idiot. You just said it earlier.
Right. I've said it numerous times to myself the past month.
Yeah. But then you just got through telling me all the reasons that you're a little unsteady right now. This is new to me, new kids, new technology, new people that I'm working with. You said if I was talking to someone and being nice, this is what I would tell them, right? So that's going to be your relief, right? We can put, I listen, discovery worksheets, start doing them, right? Find your patterns. This is your do line that you've been trying to get to. Find your patterns. Do one for every overeat, every off plan eat. Okay. Do the discovery worksheets so then you can find your patterns. So then you can set up parameters to help you target that window that you discover. For example, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's either transition between work and evening or after dinner. It's
Both.
probably one of those two places. Those, yeah, those are the times when all the thoughts about our inadequacy and or our sadness, which those two might actually be a little bit related, right? Right? Okay. Those are the times when those thoughts can be the loudest because during the day, you ain't got time to do that because you're busy faking it until you make
Pretty much.
Right? Yeah. So do your discovery worksheets, uncover the reasons you're overeating. So then you can see what we need to start preparing for ourselves in the morning, meaning. Once you know where your patterns are, and we just took a guess, I'm going to guess that those are the two times that might be going on. In the morning, you can have a conversation with yourself. This is the period of time that I need to remind myself about why I am 100% qualified to do this job, that I need to remind myself I'm not supposed to know anything, right? I'm supposed to learn. I need to be my own best friend today with this stuff. Okay.
And
That's what we
instead,
do
I've been
once.
reminding myself I should stick to my plan. I should take a walk. I
Yes.
should,
Yes.
none of this stuff, right?
Yes. And oh, by the way, too, also don't feel sad because you should be over that by now.
I should. Exactly.
Yes.
Right. No, 100%.
Yes. Listen, the wedding, I hear you on that, but you're only putting pressure on yourself about the wedding because of the way you're showing up today. You're
Yeah,
trying to use
totally.
the wedding as motivation to get your shit together. When actually, what we need to do is use our inner person that's sending us these messages that is just asking you to feel confident, to feel loved, to feel cared for. We need to use that as motivation. The wedding's going to take care of itself. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you stop feeling inadequate and start reminding yourself of the badass, amazing teacher that you are on the daily, you're going to show up to that wedding, whatever weight you are, loving the experience.
Yep. You nailed it.
Yeah. Teachers unite.
That's it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being the first one to raise your hand. It was good to see you
Thank
again.
you. You
Yeah.
too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, hon. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Queen Kamish, you're up next. All right, y'all. We need to see some more hands raised. And I just realized I forgot to tell y'all Coach Kathy is in the chat with you. I'm sure she is working her magic. It's hard for me to read the chat and coach at the same time. I'm not that skilled. I'm working on it. All right, Queen Kamish, you're coming on up. So let me see some more hands raised of other people that would like to get coached. Anything and anything goes, anything and everything. All right, here comes Queen Kamish. I got to see who this is behind this badass name. You're muted, hun. Unmute
There we
yourself.
go. You'd think I'd figured this out by now.
It's okay.
So
It's okay. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you? Thank you
Good.
for calling me up.
Should I call you Queen?
No, you can call me Beth.
I can call you Beth. Okay, this is Beth,
Yes,
y'all.
yes, yes.
Okay.
So I actually raised my hand to get a little help dealing with the mom relationship with my mom, and it's going to be a posthumous dealing. Growing up, my mom was my first and my lifelong bully. So, there was never anything good enough. No matter what I did, no matter how far I went, how I shined, what I accomplished, it was just there was always that negative comment. It was never enough, and I never got approval growing up. So I have found that in no BS with journaling and with working through a lot of the things that I've worked through, I keep finding that, well, I'm not consistent in planning because why bother? It's never going to be good enough. So how do I quiet? I know it's just a learned behavior and it's learned chatter. I just need to change. And so towards the end of my mom's life, she had Alzheimer's and dementia. So there was no talking, there was no resolving. And then she passed away, and I could tell that no BS was so helpful because when we went to her memorial services, heading into it, I knew that I was going to hear all these people just, oh, say wonderful things about her. And I'm like, y'all didn't have the same woman experience I did with that girl because I never got to see that, oh, wonderful friend, loving, supportive person. But I knew that the memorial service was for them. So I was in check, and it was a good experience, but I feel like I keep coming back to that chatter that, why do it? You're not going to be good enough. It's not going to mean anything. Who cares? There's no approval. So I want to get past that. I just, I'm kind of like stuck, and I heard a coaching call replay a few days ago that, and I've always been hesitant to re raise my hand until I heard this call that you just can't coach yourself through it. So I caught this call and I'm like, okay, I'm serious. I need to get past this. I need to deal with this. So
Do you know
that's where I am
anything
today.
about your do you know anything about your mom and like her upbringing or anything?
No, that's the
worst part, I guess, is that she was always so very secretive. There was nothing, very few details she would share about her life and her upbringing. She was born in 1941. I know that. So I know that her parents lived through the Depression and World War I and several wars. So I know that they were always, sorry, I'm on my cell phone. Sorry for the bouncy video.
That's
They were
okay.
always very frugal about things. So I don't know. She was an alcoholic, so I never saw her sober until I was 14. And then after that, it was like she was very private. When I was probably 20 or 21, I think, she told me to stay out of her personal life and she would stay out of mine. So there was, never any kind of a close relationship and no sharing of details because those details were her private life and I was to stay out of that.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds like she was coping with her stuff, with her things in her life, with alcohol. Just like most of us cope with food or Amazon shopping or exercise or all kinds of stuff, right?
We all have our vice to cope with.
So, Beth, what if your mom was just doing the best she could with the skills she had at the time, and she was just wrong? She was just wrong about you.
Yeah, she was because she never took the time to get to know me.
Yeah, she didn't have the capacity to do that.
She didn't.
She didn't. She was wrong. She did the best that she could with the skills she had at the time. And she was just wrong about you.
That's very relieving. She did the best she could at the time with what she had.
As evidenced by her own life, right? We all do that, right? Are you a mom?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Are you doing the best you can with the skills that you have?
Yes.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, we
Are we
all are.
screwing our kids up a little bit? Probably.
Yeah, my husband and I have a
Yeah.
joke that we have a therapy jar. So every time we did something to our son, or just something, some situation that happened, it would be that was a fiver for the therapy jar, or oh Lord, that was 10 bucks in the therapy jar.
That's the funniest thing I've ever
So,
heard, right?
yeah,
I always
that
think,
was our joke.
I always think about, like, when I found No BS and I realized all the things that I taught my kids about food that I learned, right? And I just wish I could go back and undo. And so I spend so much, my kids are 22 and 19. I still spend so much time talking about, and y'all remember when I used to make you clean your plate if you wanted dessert? That was wrong. I did that wrong, right? And I want them to know that I was wrong. I was wrong about that. My mom says to this day, my dad was a spanker. You know, we used to get hit when I was a kid. That was generation, right? My mom says now all the time, she's like, I wish I could go back. We were wrong. Your mom was wrong about you.
I have the evidence to back that up. I have found that in search of that approval, I have spread myself so thin. So I just craving that approval from somewhere, and I have such a high standard for myself that it's that impossible standard. I know I'm never going to meet it, so I just need to bring that down somehow.
Yeah, it's the ungettable carrot, right?
Yes.
Right. Because we get stuck in the loop of seeking the acceptance. And even though it feels like shit, it's comfortable.
Yes, it's familiar, it's comfortable.
Because what's uncomfortable is cheerleading ourselves and finding our wins and saying to ourselves, we are good enough. And telling other people how amazing we are. That feels weird, but beating myself up for all the shit I didn't do today, that feels normal. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
it
we have
does.
to get really good every day at cheerleading ourselves, telling our brains, this is why I'm fucking good enough today. Fuck the carrot. I've gotten the carrot. I've eaten it. I've turned it into soup and it's in the toilet. I already pooped it out. That's disgusting. That went in a weird place. Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
That's okay, because my husband and I, every time I make something wonky for dinner, I mean, we always look at each other and just shrug and go, yeah, that'll make a turd.
Yeah.
So it's
Y'all,
okay.
I don't even know. Sometimes my coaching just. You need to ask any of my private clients. They'll be like, yep, we'll be all serious. And then Chrissy will just say something whack-a-doodle. Because I just have diarrhea of the mouth sometimes. So I just say what comes into my head. But right, that's what we need to do. We need to get uncomfortable creating our own validation. Because it is unusual for all of us. I mean, I really would love to meet the woman who comes to know BS. I'm not saying y'all don't hit me up on the Facebooks showing me all the women that do this, but I would really love to meet the woman that comes in an OBS and is like, I love myself so much, y'all, I can't even stand it. Like, I am so amazing. I just am I mean, honestly, most of us come here because we don't do those things for ourselves because we've been told not to. We've been told it's braggy, right? We've been told all kinds of stuff, right? Or we're used to waiting for other people to do it for us.
Or with my mom, it was like every time I would be proud and say something, it was always that undercut of just it wasn't good enough, so I just
Yeah, but
stopped.
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The yeah buts.
Yeah, but well, you did good on
Yeah,
that
but
test, but you know you got that science test next week. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So your homework
Yeah.
every day is reminding yourself, my mom did the best she could with the skills she had at the time, and she was wrong about me. And here's all my evidence of why that's true.
Okay. I can do that.
And if you run out of ideas, ask the people that love you.
Okay. I know they have them because I get comments every now and again from people. So,
And
okay, I
probably
can do
when they
that.
say them, you're like, they're just saying that. It doesn't land. It doesn't land, right? It's like when we ask our husbands or our spouses or our partners, does this make me look fat? And they say no, you're like, you're lying. Right? Because unless we believe it ourselves, I'm not going to believe it if you say it. Right? That's
Absolutely.
your
Okay.
homework, queen. You're
I can
lucky
do
I'm not,
that.
I was about to give you an assignment to come in the Facebook group for 10 days straight and tell us why you are good enough every day, at least one reason, but I won't do that to you because I'm confident you're going to do it yourself. I'm trusting you.
Okay. I might still come in the Facebook group to do that just on purpose to hold myself accountable for it.
Do you see what I just did
Just,
there? I knew you were going to say that, Beth. That was reverse
yeah.
psychology.
Yes, it was.
She fell for it,
You're
y'all.
so
Sneaky. I am so
sneaky.
sneaky, but I would love that because listen, for reals, like if there is any place that you can come to brag on yourself, it's no BS. Yes, this is the
Yeah.
place where you can come and say, y'all, let me just tell you what I said about me being good enough today. You're going to get, yes, oh my gosh, that's amazing. You are good enough. This is so awesome. you will get validation here too. Not that you need it because you're doing it yourself, but this is a safe space. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Listen,
perfect.
Because Coach Kathy just posted in the chat for everybody on this call to watch for your posts and give you some love.
Awesome. I will do it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks,
All
right. Beth. Thanks for
Thank
coming
you
on
so
and raising
much.
Your hand. You're welcome, honey.
Thank you.
All right. See
All right.
ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So good, y'all. Y'all, it's tough. Parenting is hard. Being a kid is hard. It's all hard, right? We just are all doing the best we can. And sometimes it's best just to get in other people's thought bubble for just a minute. Okay, Rosita, come on up. Beth, yes, Jean, it's Beth. Rosita is coming on up. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Rosita.
Hey, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry. This is like the last minute thing and nobody's home. So I thought it'd be a good time to do this.
Nobody's home. Okay. Yes. What are we
okay.
coaching on, hon?
So what you brought up at the beginning about fear, I just wanted to talk about that. So I'm an only child and my parents are true Italians off the boat. I got married a little late in life. Not terribly late. I was 31 and I had my first pregnancy. Everything was great. As soon as I had my son, this was 22 years ago. As soon as I had my son, I felt like he took my entire personality with him. Because I used to be fun. I used to always be happy. I mean, it was just disgusting how, you know, I would wake up happy and that was it. After having my son, I felt like he took my entire personality. I had severe postpartum depression. Like I left the hospital with it. And it was so bad that when my in-laws came, my father-in-law pulled my husband to the side and said, there's something wrong with her. You got to get her checked out. So anyway, we go home. I didn't want to have nothing to do with the baby. I didn't want to hurt him. I just didn't want nothing to do with him. Until I went to the doctor, they put me on antidepressants. It took 6 weeks. And now, 22 years later, I feel like I lost this whole time with my son, the first 6 weeks of his life. And I feel like we didn't have that, you know, bonding. Anyway, he was, so then 13 months later, I wanted to get pregnant again. My husband didn't think it was a good idea, but I said, I was an only child. It sucks. I don't want my son to be an only child. Okay. So hopefully I talked to the doctor. He said, listen, we could put you on antidepressants while you're pregnant. They're safe. But I was like, no, because I wasn't a pill person. Well, the Lord blessed us with twins. So I was pregnant with twins. Now my anxiety started. I'm like, now I'm going to have double the postpartum depression. I'm like, is that even a thing?
Okay.
Luckily enough, I don't know if because the twins were born premature and my pregnancy with them was very complicated. And they came home on apnea monitors and all this stuff after the NICU. I don't know if it was because I was so involved with them, more involved than I was ever with my first son. And I wanted to make sure that everything, you know, I never got postpartum depression, or I didn't think I did, right?
So how is all of that affecting you today?
Now it's affecting me because I am afraid. I have fear over everything now. Since COVID, it's gotten even worse. I've gained a lot of weight since COVID. I mean, I'm
okay.
sure, you know, everybody says that. I don't want to go out of the house. It's been, we're 3 years after COVID. I don't want to leave the house. I'll leave the house maybe once every couple of weeks to go to Trader Joe's and I come back.
How do you do that?
Huh?
How do you go out of the house to go to Trader Joe's?
My husband takes me. I beg my husband to take me.
So is it a driving thing?
It's a everything. It's a
But you
going
go,
into
okay, so but you have a desire to leave the house. Let's talk about one of your fears. Is this the one you want to talk about? Is this the fear you want to talk about leaving the house?
Well, it's all the fear. I have a lot of fear. I have a fear that my parents are going to pass away, which I know it's going to happen. I've already, okay, I've said that to myself. It's going to happen, but the fear is still there. I don't want to get the phone call.
Okay, so give me one fear and let's talk about that. Let's narrow it to one because the skill will be the same for the rest. Okay. So let's just do one and we'll work through it together.
Going out, well, I'm a beach person. Always was a beach person.
Okay.
I live in New Jersey. My favorite beach is Wildwood Crest.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest fear about going to the beach, and I haven't been to the beach, is because I have a genetic disorder that's affected my legs and I can't walk properly.
Okay.
I'm afraid of what people are going to think. Me trying to walk across all the
sand. So tell me what they're going to think. Tell me what they're going to think, Rosita.
Oh my God, she's so heavy. Oh my God, she doesn't even know how to walk. What is wrong with her?
Hmm.
You know?
Do you think these things?
I think that they're going to think it, yeah.
No, do you think these things about yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is how you're talking to yourself. Oh my God, I'm so heavy. I can't walk right. That's how you're talking to yourself. Because the stories we make up that people, we think people are thinking about us, we wouldn't be able to make up if they didn't already exist in our own mind.
Right.
Right. So your first step to getting over the fear is to understand what it is you're afraid of and talk yourself through that. So tell me your self-talk around your weight, your body.
Well, in the past week, what I've been trying to tell myself is life is too short and I shouldn't give a flying fuck of what anybody thinks of me because I enjoy the beach. And why should everybody else enjoy their life and not me?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Why do you deserve to go to the beach?
Because I love it. That's my place.
Yeah. Yeah. In whatever size body you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Level up these thoughts. So I want you to, do you do the four N's? Do you use the four N's?
I try.
Okay. So this would be how we use the four N's. This is a great example. So if you're journaling, which I hope you are, because when we have fears and they're all just swimming around in our head at the same time, the first step to working through them is to see them one at a time. And that happens on paper. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it's like trying to catch a fart. I mean, literally, see, there I go saying inappropriate crap. I don't even know where I get it, but it is right. Like you just can't get a hold of it. You gotta see them one at a time. Right. And so one of your fears is what are people going to think about me at the beach? Right. And so then you just go there. What are they going to think? And then you write all that out and you see they're going to think I'm this. They're going to think. And now you have the opportunity just because you and I had this. We basically just did like oral journaling right here. Right.
Yeah.
And you told me here's what they're going to think, Coach Christie. And I said, well, what do you think? And you said, I deserve to go to the beach. My life is that I get one life. Why should they get to go and I don't get to go? And I said, that's right. In whatever body you have, you deserve to go to the beach. Now, can you imagine, just like with Dawn, right? If I called you every morning, the morning you're going to the beach tomorrow, and I said, hey, Rosita, you go and have a great time at the beach. You deserve it. You deserve to be on the beach just like anybody else. Yeah. But the first step to being able to talk to ourselves like that is knowing how we're talking to ourselves currently. Okay. And you know how in the beginning you were having trouble focusing on the fears?
Yeah.
And you wanted to keep telling me about, I just have fears of everything, Christy. I just have fears of everything.
Yeah.
Right. And I, Right. And this is like overwhelm, right? When my clients come to me, they're like, I'm just so overwhelmed. And I'm like, okay, what are we overwhelmed about? Tell me, give me the list. And we just write it all out. And they're like, well, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this. And so we make a list. And I'm like, okay, you got 10 things. Which one are we starting with? It's like, all right, well, I'm going to start on this. You got three or four fears right now. Maybe they're more than that. Make your list and you start working on them one at a time. But you have to know what they are, right? You have to see them. So this needs to happen on paper. Okay. How do you feel?
All right.
You think this is something you can do? Do you think it would be helpful?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a whole night
All,
to
you have a
prepare
whole
for
what?
the summer. I have a whole 9 months to prepare for the next beach last
Oh,
season.
that's right. Well, if you were still in Texas, you could go to the beach this weekend because it's still hot as balls. Yeah. You got a whole 9 months. But do this with your other fears. The process is going to be the same, Rosita. The process is the same. Okay. You're going to write them down and then you're going to look at them and you're going to talk back to them. Okay. Okay. If you get stuck, come to Ask Coaches. Do you know how to use Ask Coaches? Okay. Come to Ask Coaches and be like, here's the one fear I'm working on right now. Okay. Don't come to Ask Coaches with all and be like, I'm afraid of everything, because they're going to tell you to do the same thing. They're going to say, okay, give me one. And then, you know, okay, because we need to have a hook. So we're just going to work through one at a time and be patient with yourself, because all of your fears, remember how, just like we talked before earlier, fear is a feeling that is coming from your inner person. So we're going to take the temperature. It's sending you a message. We just got to talk back to it. We just got to allow it. We got to understand it. We got to look at it. We need not judge it. We don't need to freak out about it. We just need to see it. And then we need to decide, is this true? Do I need to reframe? What's going on here? Okay. But the first step for you is just going to be getting them down so you can see what they are. Okay.
All right. That
Thank you for
sounds
coming
good.
on. All
Thank
right.
you. Thank
You're welcome,
you.
honey.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Fear is a funny thing, y'all. All right, Lisa Dana in the house. I love that name too. Y'all have the coolest names. Sonia Ward lives in New Jersey. I used to live in New Jersey, y'all. My son was born there. He was born in Mount Holly, New Jersey, which is about 45 minutes from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. All right, Lisa Dana. Lisa Dana. Maybe it's Lisa Dana. Is it Lisa Dana?
It is. It
It
is.
is. I
Yeah,
was
I'm
saying it
standing in my
wrong.
laundry room now because my kids are downstairs. So
They're
here I am in the
everywhere.
laundry room. So, I mean, I had two things that I was thinking about that I wanted to talk about. But I guess what I'll say is it seems like this is like the mother-daughter call today. So I just want to say from the last person who spoke, I had a very similar experience with my postpartum depression. It's totally normal, and so many people go through it. So I did some inner child work over the weekend, and I had huge breakthroughs around my stepmother. And something that you had said was like, I don't remember, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it's not your fault, or so you just said with another panelist. So I'm feeling really good about the inner child work that I did, and sort of feeling like my stepmother, like I was not to blame, I wasn't stupid, I was just a child. And I did the best that I could, and it's all on her, and it's not on me, and I don't need to hold that. I don't know how to keep carrying that through in a way that, so I had this great aha, but is that life changing and I never have to go back to it? That's the one thing. Like, how can I keep this feeling going from that experience? I've noticed that since then I've been overeating a lot. And then right before this call, my daughter was sharing with me some traumatic experiences she feels she has from her childhood due to my ex-husband and also pandemic. But she was just really revealing to me how like depressed she is and how traumatized she feels. And so
I'm just feeling that too. And I've just found myself, you know, not making plans the last couple of days, overeating. And I don't know how to sort of get my eating on track with all these emotions.
So just like the other members that we talked tonight, like we could coach on how to get you back on plan, right? Like we could coach on the A line, we could coach on the action line, but I'd rather talk about what's getting you to go off plan in the first place and what's keeping you from making plans. So you've got a couple of things going on. One is the inner child work that you did, and you had a great question there, which is such a valid question. Like how, like we do this, right? We have these ahas and then we worry about how we're going to keep it going. Because it feels so empowering and powerful, and then we just want to keep that, right? So that's a very common thing to worry about. But then you also have this other stuff that you're going through with your daughter. So which one? Let's pick one. Which one do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I guess I don't know. You tell me which one we should talk about. This is very new. This, my daughter revealing that to me happened, you know, just a couple of hours ago.
Okay. So maybe do you want some time to process that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about the inner child work.
And I don't know.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, no, let's talk about the inner child work. I can talk about the other stuff later.
Okay. Okay. Let's give you a little bit to process that. Okay. So you had some really great ahas. It sounds like you worked on like understanding and compassion for the younger version of you, that you were doing the best you could when you were young. Is that right? I think our connection is not good, Lisa.
Yeah,
Dana.
I'm in the laundry room. Let me go back to internet.
Well, and also we can turn off your video too if it's not working well.
Okay. It's probably going to work better over here. Let's try it.
Okay. Let's try that and see. Okay. So just like with Beth, right? And we talked about when we were talking about with her mom and her stuff, and we talked about how the issues from her childhood were manifesting today. She had a very strong understanding of that. Do you have that understanding? Do you know how your relationship with your mom, how that's manifesting in you today?
So, well, it was my stepmom, and it developed over years. And so the things that I have huge regrets over actually happened when I was an adult, like decisions that I made that sort of affected my like financial future. Like I just feel like I made some stupid mistakes with her. And
okay. So how is that regret manifesting today?
Well, I know that there's a part of me that constantly wants to be acknowledged for like how good I am. And I'm constantly stressed out about like how much I've committed to and not wanting to do it, but I get it done at the expense of, you know, my family and my well-being. So it's like this constant approval thing.
Okay. So this is good, right? This is really good. So we can turn your desire for approval, right? We can turn you're kind of describing them in a negative way, and we can flip them to actually indicate what we want. So Lisa has a desire for approval and acceptance. Who can give it to Lisa?
I can.
Yes. You're the only sure thing. We can ask other people for it and they might, and that'd be awesome. I mean, if you called me, I'd give it to you every day. Right? But you're the sure thing. You're the ace in the hole. Right? So how much time are we spending every day telling ourselves that we're good enough? Why we're good enough? How much time every day do we spend supporting that statement with evidence from our life?
Really none.
None. Yeah. Yeah. And it's time to start doing that, girl.
How?
It's time. Yeah, every day. Used to be, okay, y'all don't come at me now with versions of the planner. But back in the day, in the planner, there was a section. It might still be in there. I gotta look and see. There was a section that said three things I did right today.
Yeah.
Okay. But let me tell you, let me give you a little tip. You don't need that to be a question in the planner to answer it.
Right.
This is your work. Your work as part of your assessment every day is to include reasons I was good enough today, evidence that that's true.
Yeah.
Every day.
I
Because
mean,
self-love is a process, it's not a result. Self-love is something we do, it's not something we have.
but then I got that expense, like at the expense of disappointing people, at the expense of
Can you disappoint people?
no. No.
No. You show up the way you need to, that's best for you, and you let them manage their own thoughts and feelings. Because you wouldn't do a good job at it anyway. Trust me. Trust me. I've tried. I've tried to manage other people's thoughts and feelings. I suck at it. They never think the way I tell them to. Yeah. It's time, Lisa. How old are you?
55.
Oh, similar age as me. Y'all, I turned 50 coming up. You can probably give me some tips. Do you have
I
kids?
do.
Yeah. Lisa, it's your time. It's your time to value yourself, to put yourself on the list, not at the expense of others, but just put yourself on the list. Who is losing out by you taking 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, 40 seconds a day to give yourself an attagirl? Who's losing out by doing that?
No one.
No one. In fact, I would argue with you if I was a lawyer. I feel like I would have been a good lawyer. I would argue with you that you're going to show up better for all those other people if you do that for yourself.
Yeah. A part of that work is going to be setting boundaries. Like I said, boundaries that I cross every day.
Well, remember that boundaries are for yourself. Boundaries aren't for other people,
Right, but I
right?
cross the boundaries
You
every
cross
day.
your, yeah, you violate your own boundaries. Yes, ma'am. Right? But you do that from a good place. Don't beat yourself up about that, right? You're violating your own boundaries because you think that's what you're supposed to do, or you think that's what you have to do, right? And you're not used to putting yourself first. So don't beat yourself up for violating your own boundary, okay? It all came from a good place. There was reasons you were doing it that made total sense. Y'all, this is a judgment-free zone. We do not judge ourselves. Everything we do, every action we do, every overeat we have has a good freaking reason behind it. And it ain't because you're lazy and it ain't because you don't care about losing weight. None of that is true. There is a valid reason every single time we don't show up for ourselves the way we want to. And it makes total sense. Right? Yeah. You're
Thank you.
muted.
No, I had it muted because my kids were screaming. But yeah, no,
Oh,
I that's
screaming
great.
kids.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I had it. So
So I feel like you and Beth should like partner up. Be like cheerleader togethers on the Facebooks.
that
Okay.
sounds good.
That's your work. It's not planning and overeating. I mean, yes, do that work, but cut the snake off at the head. Let's work on the problem, not the symptom. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, my love. Thanks for coming on. It was good to meet you.
Nice to
All
meet you
right, take
too.
care. All
Bye.
right. Okay, y'all. We got one more. I'm gonna pull up Nifty. Last hand raise. I know we're a little bit over. Thank you all for staying to support Nifty and her coaching. But we only have one of these calls a month, so I want to make sure we get to everybody who has their hand raised. Okay, Nifty. I feel like I know who this is.
You do. Hey, Christy.
Hey, love. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
You look amazing. You colored your hair.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did. We went for a professional looking brown.
I love it. You look great. What are we coaching on
Thank
tonight, my friend?
You. So there's been a life-changing circumstance. So I for everybody on school, so I have a 2-year-old and I've recently in May started a full-time job. And the work itself is good. It's in my fear, I guess. But my manager is terrible, for want of a better word. Now, what's happening is that I am struggling with not letting that consume my life. So while, you know, you have 40 hours in a week that you've got to work and you've got to deal with all the things and stuff, but outside of that, I'm allowing my misery within my work to seep into the rest of my life. So I'm self-sabotaging. I'm not looking after anything that I want to do. I'm moping around, constantly complaining, and I'm miserable, but I know that it's my own doing, and that part of the problem is I'm so miserable during the work week that I feel knackered and I've exhausted myself outside of that, right? And logically, my brain can recognize this, right? I've been in OBS since 2019, like the thought work, like I can understand and recognize, yeah, this is unhelpful. What can I do to make my life feel better with the scenario and the circumstances I find myself in? But I'm whatever I try and seem to do, I can't seem to make it work. I can't seem to make it stick. And I am just feeling
so. What have you
constantly...
tried? Nifty, tell me what you've tried. What have you tried?
So redirecting. So every time, you know, like I want to complain or think about work or whatever, I'm trying to like, no, this is not work time. Like I should be able to think of something else or do whatever. I am desperately trying to get back into working out and get back into, you know, just looking after stuff that I want to do. But I get to the end of the day, I'm like, I'm just so tired. I'm just fucking knackered.
Yeah.
And
so why are you trying to work out when you're so tired? Why not just go to bed?
Because I know that moving my body makes me feel good. And I want to move my body.
Do you tell yourself that? Like in the moment, do you tell yourself when you're faced with like, I'm really tired, it's the end of the day, or I can go work out? Are you like, you know what? I know working out is going to make me feel good, so I'm going to go do that. Do you have that conversation?
No, I think I probably just kind of shut it off and don't even allow myself to have that conversation. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's what we do, right? Because right now you're fighting for working out, but your actions are, I'm going to bed. So what
Correct.
That tells
yeah.
me is that you're meeting the need of tired, but judging yourself that you're not working out.
I think it's because I know that my need for tired is completely within my own doing. Like it's because I'm so pent up and stressed out and frustrated by...
How long have you been in the job, Nifty?
Since May.
Okay, so we've been... Oh, God, math. What
like
is this month?
6 months, May, June, July,
six
August,
months.
September. Oh, not even, like 4 or 5 months.
So we've been in the job 20 Saturdays. It always sounds better when you say it like that.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about Saturdays till Christmas, then don't talk like that because
oh,
that's
God,
crazy.
No,
right. So you've been in the job for 20 Saturdays and you're still feeling a little bit like you're not like it's not smooth and easy yet. How long has it been since you've been full time?
So since May, so that entire time.
No, but I mean, before that.
Oh, before that, gosh, it would have been, I mean, my kid just turned 2, so just before he was born, really.
Okay, so we haven't had a job in like 2.5 years. We've been in a job
for
20 Saturdays.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I know what you did before. Y'all don't know I know
yeah.
Nifty, but right? Yeah. Right. We haven't had a full-time job. And also, I'm just going to guess that when you had the full-time job before, you didn't also have a 2-year-old.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So life is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so what if for now, while you adjust to this new job and get your footing a little bit, you're just supposed to be tired and you're just supposed to honor tired. And you're just supposed to let that be.
It doesn't feel good enough. And
well, yeah,
I think like exercising is something I really want to do, right? So
okay,
you know,
so maybe
I
after work is
and...
not the best time for that. When is the best time for exercise?
I have no idea. I feel like if I knew that, see, I think because I
how about
so
the
I,
weekends
I, Like, in theory, I hear you and I go, yeah, yep, I could do the weekends. But then Saturday morning comes around and I just want to spend time with my son and my husband. So I guess I'm choosing not to exercise when I could be.
And what's wrong with that? Can you get your cup filled from spending time with your husband and your kid, just like exercise would do for you?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, I guess I choose to do that.
Yeah,
I think
here's
my
guess, Nifty. My guess for you is that you have this definition of what exercise is and what it should be, and now's not the time to meet that definition. Now's the time to get creative. So if movement and time for you is what you're looking for, how can we do that and accommodate tired at the same time? Because it sounds to me like whatever it's supposed to look like for you and your need at the end of the day are mashing up against each other like this. So now's the time to let go of whatever that definition is. If what you're seeking is movement and connection to myself to feel good about myself, what could I do if I got creative? So I could accommodate a little bit of tired, but a little bit of movement as well. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think this is where, like, you know, we talk about prioritizing, right? And so we make choices. We choose this over this. And I think when I lay everything out, it's like I can't choose. I'm like, hanging out with my family is just as important as getting to pole class. Like, and I want to be able to do both. And there's just not enough hours. And it's,
That's not true. That's a poison thought for you. There is enough time. It just may not be the way you want it to be, the way it is in your head. This is what I'm saying. Your definition of whatever it's supposed to look like is getting in the way of you finding a solution. For example, if all you have is, I'm just going to make something up here, 1 hour at the end of every day, if that's all you got, and in that hour has to fit some connection with me time and decompress time, time with my family, and cook dinner. I just made up some shit, right? But if all that's got to go inside an hour, well, then maybe that means time with me or movement looks like a 15-minute yoga. That's what I have time for right now while I'm adjusting to this new job, because I haven't worked full-time in 2 years and I got a 2-year-old and I'm figuring all this out. Maybe connection with my family looks like we cook dinner together, and that is connection with my family. It's time to get creative, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be one or the other. You can get creative to figure out how to do a little bit of all. But the problem is your definition of what each one is supposed to look like is not fitting into the container that you have. It doesn't fit into the container that you have.
If the goal is to move my body and feel good, I don't have to go to a particular class at a particular time to make that happen.
No.
And it's hard for me to accept. I don't want to accept it. But I definitely hear you. I definitely.
But here's the thing. You don't have to accept it forever. It's you can accept it for now. Like, this is what fits into my life right now. I mean, when your sweet boy, y'all, he's so cute. When your sweet boy gets a little bit older and goes to school, that might look totally different. Right?
Yeah.
Barbara says, put your 2-year-old in the stroller and go for a walk. What a great idea, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it is. You're right. It's about changing the definition of what that looks like and being a little bit more open-minded. Because you're right. I could, once he's gone to bed, I can do a 30-minute stretch and home workout. But it's just that I'm like, I want to go to a pole class and I can't. So fuck it. None of it, you know? But that's exactly it. That's where I've been. I've been like this sort of sulky.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. If I can change the definition and be a bit more creative and just for now, think, okay, if the goal is to move my body and feel good, what other ways can I do that fits? Okay.
Yes. Okay. So good.
I hear you, Christy. Thank you.
Good. It was so good to see you.
So good I'm to so see glad you too. You're still this here. Won't be the last time, I'm sure.
I'm so glad. Thanks for coming on and thanks for staying.
Thank you.
All right. Love you, friend. Okay.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so good, y'all. Okay, I'm sorry we went over, Coach Kathy. I'm so sorry. Tell Ken Hartman not to be mad at me. thanks, everybody, for staying late. It's been a minute since I've done these live coaching calls. I really do love just connecting with you guys and just talking things out. So thanks, everybody, for being here, and we'll see you around.